The song said, "A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord," and that's so true. Such an honor and a privilege to be able to share with you another message from God's Word this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we welcome you. If you're a member, we welcome you as well. And it's good to see everyone here this morning and putting an emphasis on serving the great God that made all of us. We're continuing our study about overcoming sin, and we're going to be talking about gossip this morning. God created man as a social being, and for the most part at least, people don't like being alone. There's times I like being alone, but I know when Dawn and Sherry go away for an extended period of time, that usually runs out after about a day, and I'm ready to have them back. So we like to be with other people, we like to talk to other people, and unfortunately, we like to talk about other people as well. You know, the ability to communicate that God has given us is a great blessing, but it's also at the same time, as we read from Deuteronomy 28 this morning, there's a curse side of that as well, because Satan uses our ability to communicate as an avenue to tempt us to sin. We're in for a lot of grief and headache sometimes with our words. God's word addresses the dangers posed by the tongue, as Eric read from James chapter 2 or chapter 3. When I read that passage, the thing that really strikes me the most is the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. We lived out in California for about 4 years, and I remember one time there was a big forest fire, and when you would go outside the house, see the smoke laying over the town, and you could smell that burnt wood smell, and it was all started by just a careless camper didn't put out their campfire. So Smokey the Bear was right, you got to watch it. Well, we have to watch our tongue, because it can start a forest fire in a figurative sense. Verse 8 of James 3 says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." I know in my own life, just about the time I think I've tamed my tongue, then my tongue betrays me. So we have to be extremely careful. Of all of the sins committed with the tongue, one that's especially a problem for a lot of people is the sin of gossip. Webster defines gossip as a person who chatters or repeats idle talk and rumors, especially about the private affairs of others. Closely related to gossip is the idea of slander, which means to utter in the presence of another person a false statement or statements damaging to another person's character or reputation. The Bible, at least the New King James, also uses the terminology of talebearer or whisperer. In Proverbs 11 and verse 13, the wise man said, "A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter." Then a whisperer in chapter 16 and verse 28, "A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." Like all sins, gossiping brings a measure of satisfaction and pleasure, even to the point with some folks that gossip becomes an addiction. In the New Testament, Paul warned Timothy and Titus about gossiping. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13, as Paul is discussing widows, he says about some of those widows that they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things that they ought not. He said to Titus in Titus 2 and verse 3, "The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers." Now, before the women think I'm picking on the ladies, men can be equally guilty of gossip as well. In fact, one of the worst gossips that I've ever known in my life was not a woman, it was a man. So the sin of gossip is a pretty pervasive sin. It's pretty common. But we cannot accept it, and we certainly can't excuse it and overlook it. Like all other sins, one who has a problem with gossiping must make a conscious effort to overcome this sin. And again, I'm going to repeat it in this lesson. If you remember anything from this series of lessons, to overcome sin, we have to do what? Make a conscious effort to do so. In 2 Peter 1, Peter said that we are to diligently add to our faith virtue and so forth, knowledge. Well, to be diligent, you have to do what? You have to make a conscious effort. Well, the damage caused by gossip. Normally, we think of gossip as something engaged in by elderly ladies as they're sipping their coffee and eating their cookies and talking on the telephone. But the Bible warns us that gossip causes a great deal of damage. First of all, it reveals secrets. We're going to be reading a lot from, if you want to open your Bible there, Proverbs 11 and verse 13 reads, He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. I want you to notice something. What does the talebearer do? He goes about looking to dispense his tales, to tell his tales to others. So there's nothing accidental about gossip or slander. It's a purposeful effort that someone engages in. This passage also portrays a talebearer or a gossip as one who betrays or violates a trust. A gossip reveals secrets. He's been entrusted with a secret. Maybe the contents of that secret could damage the individual who revealed that secret to him. But the gossip chooses to violate that trust because he gets some sort of sordid pleasure out of sharing this information with other people. And that's dangerous because it can damage a friendship. Again, Proverbs 18 and verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel. A good woman, a good man, will honor their friend's confidence when a secret is shared and protect their reputation. So we shouldn't be revealing secrets. Gossip also kindles strife, this time in Proverbs 26, beginning in verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Talebearer is one who is telling stories that shouldn't be told. Their purpose is not to inform people or forewarn people, but to amuse themselves somehow by sharing this information, by sharing secrets and such. And that causes strife among people. In Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19, even though it doesn't specifically mention gossip, it certainly mentions some of the tools of the trade. In verse 16, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, that's certainly involved in gossip from time to time, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, that could be part of gossiping as well, feet that are swift in running to evil, that certainly is true of some people that gossip, they can't spill the beans fast enough, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. As Christians, we are to be peacemakers and not troublemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said, for they shall be called the sons of God. Hebrews 12 and verse 14, the Hebrew writer tells us, sue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. If we're gossiping, we're certainly not pursuing peace. We're sowing strife. Well, another damage that can be caused by gossiping is that it separates friends. Back to Proverbs, this time in chapter 16. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Gossiping, tale-bearing, whispering, and so forth, all inevitably cause trouble among people. In James 3 and verse 5 again, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. Just one thing said in breaking the confidence of another can just set the whole relationship on fire. A gossip enjoys digging up juicy information about other people and then whispering it to others. And then kind of just stand back and watches as all this damage takes place. I don't know if you've ever done this in school, but to illustrate the point, I remember when I was in seventh or eighth grade, the teacher went to one person at the beginning, was in the first row, and gave them a bit of information, and they were to pass that information on to the next person, and when it got around the room. And, you know, by the time it got to the last person, it was just totally out of whack with what the original piece of information was. And that's what happens when gossip takes place. Everything gets blown out of proportion, and all kinds of strange things end up being said. So false tales and revealed secrets always end up turning people against one another, and the damage can be really harsh to where it destroys a close relationship. And in that regard, it brings anger. The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. What do you do if you know that somebody has stabbed you in the back, so to speak, and said something they shouldn't have said? Do you give them a nice smile and so forth? No, you give them this angry countenance. A backbiter is one who does not have the courage to challenge a person to their face. Instead of meeting them face to face in an honest discussion, they spread lies and rumors behind their back. You ever heard the term two-faced backstabber? That's what we're talking about here. They'll share this information with people, but they won't confront the person that it's about. And Christians aren't supposed to act that way. In Matthew 18 and verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Do you ever think about why the Lord instructed us to do that? Because we can keep it to ourselves. We can solve the problem without it getting out amongst the brethren and causing a stir, causing problems. But a talebearer is looking to peddle his wares. And when his efforts are discovered, then the injured party is going to respond. How do you normally think most people respond when they find that someone has been stabbing them in the back? They get mad. They get angry. And that anger may lead them to sin. So in that case, then the gossip has multiplied his sin, because now he's guilty of putting a stumbling block before others. And remember, we read about that in Matthew 18 last week. And what happens to one who puts a stumbling block? It would be better for him than what? To have a millstone tied around his neck and him cast into the sea. So we need to meet a slanderer or a backbiter with indignation rather than acceptance. Remember what the wise man said in Proverbs 26? If there's no wood, what happens? The fire goes out. So we can put gossips and backbiters out of business by just not listening to what they have to say. Well, another damage that can take place. It shows one to be a fool. When we are involved in sins involving our tongue, it indicates that to other people that we just lack good judgment. We are indeed a fool, the wise man said in Proverbs 17. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Now notice verse 28. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. When we have a loose tongue, then we're acting the part of a fool. A whisperer might try to hide his identity, but eventually he's going to be exposed for what he is. A fool. When I was working on this particular point, something came to mind from the television. Don likes to watch The Waltons. Everybody remember The Waltons? Remember Cora Beth on The Waltons? She was the town gossip. And she would always be engaging her tongue before she engaged her brain. And in the end, she always did what? She always looked like a fool because that's what she was. Well, how do we overcome the sin of gossip? Remember, it's not just a harmless habit. It's a sin that causes enormous damage. We can't use it by saying, well, that's just the way I am. Or we can't rationalize it away by saying, well, I'm doing people a favor. They need to know this information. They need to be warned about this. And this is the one that drives me up a wall, because this person that I was talking about earlier that was in my life at one time that was a major gossip, and the man was a Christian, unbelievably. He always said this, it's not gossip if it's the truth. Well, that's an untruth. Like all sins, we have to strive to overcome the temptation to engage in gossip. And the key, as with any sin, is self-control. We need to keep our mouths shut. We need to remove ourselves from the grapevine, so to speak. And we need to find pleasure in other things besides being a talebearer. So we would do good to ask ourselves the following questions when we repeat something. First of all, is it the truth? If it's not the truth, it's a lie, and no lie bears repeating. Slander, by definition, again, is telling something that is not true. We need to make sure, first of all, that we have our facts straight. We might just be getting a rumor and unverified information. And a Christian is not to have anything to do with that type of thing. In Proverbs 18, first in verse 13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and shame to him. Verse 17, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. It's easy to draw the wrong conclusions when we only hear one side of a story, isn't it? So we can save ourselves a lot of embarrassment, and we can save others a lot of grief if we take the time to get all the facts before we act upon a matter or before we repeat something. And I'm going to underline this, just because a matter is true doesn't mean it bears repeating. If it was given to us in confidence, we need to keep it in confidence. Also, to overcome gossip, we need to ask ourselves the question, is it going to build up or tear down? In Romans 14 and verse 19, Paul said, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Gossip isn't pursuing peace, and it certainly isn't edifying or building up of another. It brings anger, as we've already seen. It brings contention and strife. The tools of a talebearer will never contribute to peace and edification among brethren. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, we need to remember our words have great power, either for good or for evil. Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Sometimes it's true that we have to discuss negative things. People need to be warned, for example, about false teaching and false teachers and so forth. And there's important lessons that we learn from the Bible from negative examples as well. But we need to use great care and wisdom when we're sharing information about the sins or misdeeds of another person. When we're sharing those things, do we have that person's best interest in mind, or are we just trying to share a bit of juicy information? You know, some people, when they do that, they almost have a smile on their face. Oh, did you hear what happened to so-and-so or what so-and-so did? They get a thrill by passing along that information. But if it's not going to build up, then we need not share it. Also, have I talked to them first? If it's a matter of a brother sinning against us, again from Matthew 18 and verse 15, we need to keep that private. We need to talk to him and him alone. Private matters need to remain private. But what happens when someone sins against another person? What's the tendency? The tendency for the offended party is one, they want to share that information with everybody in the world except the one that sinned against them. And that's doomed to cause problems. And that's how gossip and whispering gets started. That's how what maintains the grapevine. So we can avoid gossip if we'll follow the Lord's instruction on this matter. Sometimes malicious gossip can be stopped if we will take the reports to the person who is the subject of the gossip. You know, somebody's telling this about you. You might want to take care of this matter. Because a talebearer doesn't want people to investigate the facts. The facts are the enemy of a talebearer. He doesn't want to be called on the facts. And if we call them on the facts, then that will go a long way in stopping the grapevine, the gossip. We also need to do this. We need to examine ourselves. We talked about this in a previous lesson about being a hypocrite. Matthew 7, we're not to judge hypocritical and hypocritical judgments. We need to make sure that we're not removing a splinter from someone else's eye when we've got a two before sticking out of our own eye. So only a hypocrite's going to spread stories about the faults of others while displaying even greater faults in their own life. So we need to clean our own house before we try to clean someone else's. There's a saying, and it's very true, people that live in glass houses shouldn't do what? Shouldn't throw stones. So we need to examine ourselves. And we need to ask ourselves this question. Why am I, and notice I underlined it, really doing this? What's my motivation for passing along this information? Am I trying to do good? Or am I just getting some sort of sordid pleasure out of repeating this information? So we need to give it what I call the edification test first before we share any information with other people about other people. It goes back to Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do I really have the best interest of other people at heart in sharing this? Or do I enjoy the misery of other people? You know, one of the characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13, that love does not rejoice in iniquity. But unfortunately, a lot of folks do rejoice in iniquity. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Well, the words of a talebearer, the wise man said, are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost part of the body. Some people also act as if they had no choice in the matter. So they got to repeat it. And I've heard this a million times. I probably shouldn't tell you, but, well, if you've got a preface your statement with, I probably should not tell you, then you should not tell me. He who covers a transgression seeks love, Proverbs 17 and verse 9. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. Now, it's certainly true that we cannot ignore sin, but if we love a person, I mean, want what is in their best interest, then we'll keep private matters out of the public domain. If we derive pleasure from gossip, we'll do the opposite. We'll stir up all kinds of trouble. We'll be like that little ember that starts the big forest fire. And in the process, feelings are going to be hurt, relationships are going to be broken, and unfortunately, souls could be lost. Another thing we need to ask ourselves before we repeat something is this what I would want done to me? Can you imagine if we lived in a world where every person in the world followed the golden rule? In Luke 6 and verse 31, Jesus said, as you want men to do to you, also do to them likewise. He repeats it in Matthew 7 and verse 12. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody followed that simple rule? We wouldn't have anybody spreading lies or rumors about us. We wouldn't have friends that would betray our trust, would advertise our private matters out in the public. Well, if we want people to treat us that way, then we need to treat them that way as well. If we betray the trust of other people, what should we expect in return? They will probably betray our trust as well. So gossip is a sin that destroys another person just so the gossiper can gain some sort of selfish pleasure. And it's certainly never fitting for a child of God. In Leviticus 19 and verse 16, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people. You know, people that have a reputation as a talebearer among polite society, when they see that person coming, most people just kind of roll their eyes and say, well, here we go again. What's so-and-so going to be telling us today? So if we find that we have a problem with the sin of gossip, we need not to overlook it or excuse it, but to repent of it. Again, we need to make a conscious effort to overcome that sin and all sin. Remember, the Lord expects us as Christians to be a constant source of encouragement to other people, not a source of discouragement. So remember that edification test if you remember anything from this lesson. Let no corrupt communication or corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for very edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. If we'll follow the golden rule and the edification test, it'll go a long way in keeping peace among the brethren, in our families, in our workplaces, and everywhere that we rub shoulders with other people. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we would encourage you to become one. Judgment Day is coming. We're another day closer to death personally, and we're collectively another day closer to judgment as this day marches on. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer for what we've done in this life. And then the Lord is going to separate the sheep from the goats, according to Matthew chapter 25. Those that are lost will be sent to a place of eternal fire that was not prepared for man, but was prepared for the devil and his angels. The book of Revelation says the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. It's unquenchable fire, Jesus said in Mark chapter 9. And I cannot contemplate spending even 10 minutes in such a place, much less being there for all of eternity. And I wouldn't want that fate to befall anyone. So if you're here this morning, we encourage you to become a Christian. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to make that confession and repent of your sins, we'll gladly baptize you, and the Lord promises you he'll wash away your sins. You'll become a child of God. Then the journey begins for you to serve him throughout the remaining years of your life. If you're a Christian and have not been serving as you should be, we would also encourage you to make yourselves right with the Lord today. If you're in any way subject to the invitation, bid you come while we stand and sing.
Hark thou, gentle voice of